Welcome back to the Campbell's Footballs Podcast with me, Dr. Grant Campbell. Now, we've had a fan experience part one with Simon Steele of ULKNI. Well, we're checking that out on the socials and going back to that later on. But I'm now joined for part two by a guy I met in Northern Ireland who's been doing some fantastic work highlighting the beautiful game, not just in Scotland, but in Northern Ireland and other countries as well. He is the one and only Blair McNally, and I'm so chuffed to have Blair on the show because we met at the Cup Final, we met at Derry as well recently, and it was absolutely fantastic for me to meet Blair because I've followed this content on YouTube and on various social media. So Blair, a warm welcome to the show, and how are you doing, mate?
Ooh, doctor, I love that wee saying there in front of your name. I'm all good, mate. It's good to see you for the third time in a week, is it?
I know, this time last week, I think we were both getting ready to see a Patrick Hooban masterclass at the Brandywell,
oh,
weren't we?
Oh, mate, what a player, man. I said at the start of the season, if Derry could sign him, and I'm sticking to my word, if Derry could sign a striker, a decent striker is all they've needed the last couple of seasons, they'll win the league this season. And Derry, with Patrick Hooban up front, will win the league this season.
Mm-hmm.
Put me on
they've
that.
They've made a very strong start, haven't they? And obviously, we'll talk about the weekend, first of all, because we were both there last weekend. What did you make of the weekend? Because obviously you saw three games like I did. Two games we were both at, and you were obviously seeing a very interesting game as well in the League of Ireland on the Saturday. What was it like being over in the Emerald Isle?
Do you know what? It's mad because to me there's three levels of football, right? Well, there's four levels in the UK and Ireland, right? English football is the best. English football is the best there is, where they've got the pyramid system, unbelievable. They've got the perfect amount of money. They've got the TV sponsorships. Everything's just perfect. Obviously, the fans and stuff are well off it because money's taken over. It's more of a business now in England. And then you've got Scotland, who are just coming behind. They're kind of following England. And then you've got, I would say, Ireland, who are falling behind Scotland and copying Scotland. And then you've got Northern Ireland. And I feel Northern Ireland are very, very far behind. However, in the last couple of years, they've caught up an awful, awful lot. But I think there's still a long way to go. So it's so funny when I go to, say I go to an English game, I feel like I go to an English game and they're so far ahead of Scotland. And then I'll go to an Irish game and I'll be like, yous are doing the same stuff we were doing 10 years ago, do you know? And then you go to like a Northern Irish game and you'll be like, you need to try and do the stuff that Republic of Ireland are doing. So it's so funny. And it's obviously getting that contrast in the same weekend where, the same week where I was at a Scotland game, my game in Scotland last week, flew over to Ireland Friday night, I was at a League of Ireland match. Saturday night, I was at a League of Ireland match, a different style, a different type. And then Sunday, I was in the Northern Ireland Cup final. So it was so weird and good to see what needs improved, but also sad to see the things that aren't maybe the same in different countries. And I think we could improve, and that's why I'm doing my best to try and improve it, because I think Ireland, and especially Northern Ireland, have got a long way to go.
Yeah, it's a very interesting setup, isn't it? Because, you know, I've followed Northern Irish football for the best part of a decade now, and I started following it because, you know, there's some stories within certain clubs and lots of characters within those clubs. And I think, you know, having experienced the game now for a wee while, you do get to understand and see where people are, but also where the levels are, as you mentioned there, that they need to get to. But I think that's what makes it its own personality and gives it its own character, the league, doesn't it?
Definitely. It means it's cheaper. It means it's cheaper. It means it's more affordable for families, etc. You've seen that cup final on Sunday, the amount of families were at it. It was a big family day out, and it was amazing to see. And it also means that you're closer to the game. You get more of a say, as we've seen in my Sligo video. Sligo, 100%. They're not fan-owned. They're community-owned. So the town actually has a say in how that club is running stuff. You don't get that when you get clubs and, like, say, for instance, League Two up, what's well, you're not going to get that because it's all about money and TV deals and stuff like that. So in a way it's brilliant because you're so close to the game, and obviously the atmosphere's a lot better because it's cheaper, so you get more working class people, and that kind of has an effect. Whereas Scotland, maybe the atmosphere it's different now. People are going more towards the ultras. You're starting to see more of it in Ireland. Northern Ireland's still lacking that a little bit, however. Yeah, you do feel, to me, going to a game in Northern Ireland and maybe Republic of Ireland feels a bit more non-leaguey. Don't know
Yes.
if that's you, but it feels a bit more non-leaguey where the
I can
way,
understand that point of view. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
you're so close to the game and you're, it's not like a proper setup. It still feels a bit off the cuff, if you get me.
Yeah, but no, I think it's really interesting. But I also think you get closer to the players as well, and you get closer to some of the personalities of certain fans and people within the clubs. And I think that's what makes it personal from my point of view. Let's have a discussion about the final because we were both at the final. Linfield won it 3-1. They won the first major piece of silverware of the season. You were obviously behind the scenes. You were access all areas at the final, Blair. Just give us a flavour of what it was like for you to be working at the cup final because it must have been a magnificent moment for you.
Wow, I was there 2 years ago. It was one of my first ever videos, so I came over because my family are from Northern Ireland, and when I was overseeing my family, I decided to go to the Cliftonville Coleraine
Cool
game.
rain, fine.
So,
Yeah, of low
what a
coloring.
final that was! First taste of Northern Irish football, and then to think that 2 years later I would have been invited by that same association to go pitch side, to go access whole areas. Oh, honestly, man, it's a boy's dream. Right behind the trophy lift, I was able to touch the trophy, meet all the players. Oh, wow, what an experience. And do you know what? It's credit to the NIFL. Not for me, this wasn't about me, it's about promoting the game. And they
Absolutely.
told you how good the game is and how much it's got to offer. And what a product it was on and off the park. I mean, they Portadown down fans. How good were they?
They were superb, weren't they? Absolutely
Oh, they,
superb.
I was interviewing them before the game, and obviously it's their first time in 13 years they'd been in a cup final, and they had the big chance of doing that. But my God, did they turn up, didn't they? They put on some show. You couldn't hear the Linfield fans at points.
Yeah.
It was just a big wall of Portadown fans. It was like, wow, man. You wouldn't know who was a team like for the first division, who was a team for the championship in that game, to be honest with you. And I think it's credit to, as we just spoke about, the fact that it is still a close-knit community that are following the game rather than having people from businesses all over the world. And that does make the difference. As you've seen, the whole town was out supporting Portadown for that day, weren't they?
Absolutely. I think they had the pyro out, didn't they? And they made it very colourful with the red, especially. And I know Linfield did their stuff as well. But it makes it personal, as you say, when it's a championship side in the final going to Windsor Park to play Linfield in their own yard in a final. You know, it's going to be so tough for them. But I thought they gave a good account in the final. And, you know, they were very unlucky, I felt, to be 2-0 down at half time. And, you know, the two goals they lost were from set pieces, weren't they?
Yeah, so first half, myself said that, Sam said that, and you said that half time, all three of us said that Portadown actually deserved to take the lead. I think they hit the post, they had a couple of good saves, or it was a hit the bar or something, and then Linfield did end up taking the, you've seen the quality came into it. It
Yeah.
was always going to be the case, the first goal was going to be pivotal, and then the quality came in, Linfield hit the bar with an overhead kick, and then you could see they were just knocking at the door, and then finally they got the goal. And as soon as they got that first goal, Portadown crumbled a bit. I think they just lost their bearings because they knew the first. I think they knew the first goal was vital. And then straight after that, Linfield scored the second, and it was a tough task for them just before half time, losing two. But by God, did they come out and do the exact same thing again? Because it's easy to go into that half going, oh no, that game's over, and coming out, and it could have been. And I know Linfield scored straight after it, but the attitude of Portadown wasn't coming out as if, oh, it's game over. They came out and they went for it, and that's how Linfield scored because it was on the break, wasn't it?
Yeah, they got, I mean, it was 3-0, and then obviously they got the goal back to make it 3-1 later on.
Yeah,
But
they
while
deserved at least a
they
goal.
deserved the goal, they deserved the goal. I mean, I thought Mays and Fife in particular really good going forward for for Porto down. But I thought Linfield, key players stood up for them in that final. Kyle McLean, Ben Hall, who scored the first goal, was very good. I thought Fitzpatrick led the line very well. And Rhys Annett, one of the youngest players to score in an Irish League Cup final. I mean, what a moment for him as well.
What age was she? Do you know?
Rhys Annett or
No,
Rhys Annett.
I'm saying what age was she? Do you
Oh,
know
I
or
think
not?
he might have been 18.
That's
17,
madness, isn't it?
18.
I
That's
heard about
crazy.
that. I knew there was a teenager at school, but I didn't know it was that young. That's madness, isn't it? Imagine,
Yeah.
like, imagine being 18 years of age and scoring at the Young National Stadium in a cup final against the champions. Well, not the
Yeah.
champions, but obviously the champions of that competition.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
Madness.
absolutely magnificent. And one thing I thought as well, obviously I was doing some of the post-match interviews, is that Niall Currie, I think, was very proud of his players, getting to the final. I think he was lamenting at the fact that they lost the goals, but I think he was very proud of his team, and they now need to use that to get back to the Premiership, don't they? Because they can't be in the Championship for too much longer. They have to be back in the big time because they're a well-supported club, aren't they?
I think it's a Falkirk story then, isn't it?
There's a
Saying
wee bit, isn't
that
it?
it's tough because you look at that support that they brought and the fan base that they had, that wasn't just a fan base that was there for the day out. That was a proper fan base. A team like that should definitely be in the Premiership. However, we know football, if a team's not good enough, doesn't matter how good the fans are off the park, team's not good enough and club's not run as well as it should be, then you're in trouble. And at the moment, Porto down, are they really recruiting the best? They've brought in a couple of players over the January market. Obviously, the recruitment last summer, was it good enough to get promotion? You need to put that into the factors as well. So, do you know it's a tough league to get out of? I recently just done a video on Haaland and Wolf Wilders as well.
Yeah, another good club.
And that is a very, very good setup. You're getting a lot of teams now getting money pumped into them with businessmen, etc. Northern Ireland, the Irish football is changing for the better, and it's going to get even harder as the years go on. But Port Stewart, no Port Stewart, Porto Down. I get mixed up with the two of them. Porto Down. Yeah, I think it could be a very interesting run-in because obviously they've still got a good way to go. They've got a good couple of points to catch up on. Playoffs, I think, is most likely at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be some battle, isn't it? Because Dundella are leading the league, and as we recorded this, they can't go up because they don't have the right situations in place for going up. And then you've got Institute, Bangor, Porto down, and a couple of other clubs. You mentioned Wilders. I mean, they could potentially make a late burst. You never know. It's going to be some dogfight with 7 or 8 games left. I mean, it's quite extraordinary stuff.
You know, that's what I was just speaking about. Who was I speaking to? I was speaking to the other day about it. Such an interesting league. Like, for instance, you've got Institute who are playing at Brandywell because they've got an abandoned stadium that was built on a marsh. And then you've got like Haaland and Wolf Wilders, literally a club that built the Titanic. Do you know what I mean? It's like so. Northern Irish football's got so much to offer. There's just no media attention. And
Yeah, I totally agree.
that's why obviously me and Sam and some other people, the Peaky Blinders as well, give him a shout out. We're all doing our best to try and promote it and show that these big media companies aren't, because let's be honest, a lot of these media companies, all they care about is the money and the big games. Like Sky
Yeah.
Sports only done that cup final because they knew they would get decent numbers on it.
Yeah.
The media attention, for instance, I'll give you an example. The Northern Irish games that are on BBC have been given away for free. Do
Yeah.
you mean it's like the media companies need to try and work with the football,
Yes.
and the popularity is there, it's just finding it.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more with you, mate. I really couldn't agree more with you. Let's talk about you, though, as a person, because you obviously are doing the video vlogging, which I think is absolutely first class. What made you want to kind of get into that way of working and that world of kind of technology and social media? Because it is a kind of way of promoting football or life now, let's be honest, because it's not just football, there's loads of other sports and other walks of life doing this sort of stuff as well. It really is a growing market, isn't it? I wondered why you wanted to get into that.
I've always wanted to do it. I used to watch Smurf in away days when I was younger. And I've always had a capacity to talk shite. To be fair, that's what my gran tells me anyway. I get the gift of the gab for her. And I've obviously got an Irish mother, so I'm not half on the talking stage. So I've always been good at talking. always had energy about me, and I love football. And when I was younger, my dad used to say to me, "You're never going to make a career in football. You're like, get a real job, get this, get that." And I always said, I always knew I wanted to do something with football. And here we are. Look at me now, working extremely hard to try and promote the game that we all love. And you know what? I couldn't be more privileged. And the support I've had of people has been absolutely phenomenal. I don't think people realise the time and effort that the likes of myself and Sam and stuff actually put in to delivering these things. Like, for example, I can be going to a game, leaving at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to go to a 7:45 game at night. Need to be there for 2 hours before kickoff, do all the work before kickoff. You can begin into the game, interviewing everybody. For example, the Derry City game on Friday night, I never had anything to eat all day because you're just work, work, work. You'd not get time to eat at all. You can be getting home at about 12 o'clock at night from being out at 3 o'clock in the day, and then you get need to get a quick snack, and then you're on editing. You can be, if it's a video that people want out quickly, you can be editing 7 hours. Do you know? So that can be you near enough 20 hours you can be on the go with hardly any food, hardly any water, no snacks, just go, go, go. And I think it's a side that people don't realise. I think people just see us going to the games and that's it. People don't see the research and the time and the tears over the computer and the struggles and the stress that we go through to get the numbers and to get things right. Do you know what I mean? I'm still going through it just now with this week. Some of my videos haven't done as well as some I've wanted them to do. So you're ingrained in it, you're obsessed with it, and you're always trying to do better and change things and think do things up. But listen, it's all for the good and it's all for the promotion of our game because we're trying our best. We're trying our best to show you guys and give you guys the best content possible that you maybe didn't know. And you know what? See, when you get the few, money means nothing. Money doesn't mean anything because see, when you get the few messages, as soon as you release that video, and within 5 minutes, you get the couple of comments saying, "What a video, Blair," or "That's made my day," or "I didn't know that," or "See, if you can make a difference to somebody's day, that is just that's payment in itself. It's all that matters." And honestly, I couldn't be more privileged to have a following like I do. And listen, it's only going to get bigger and better. We've got big things coming anyway.
I'm looking forward to seeing what else you've got more of. But one of the things that really interests me when I look at your videos is how much you get young kids involved. And I think that's really good, isn't it? Because they are the future of following football, not just in Scotland, Northern Ireland, wherever, just all over the shop. And I think that's something that you've really done very well, is get young kids' opinions on what the score is going to be or what's their favourite player. And I think that's got to be a good thing. It gives people some inspiration, doesn't it?
100%. And listen, the whole reason behind this is when I was younger, I've got ADHD myself. I've struggled with energy at times. I couldn't sit in a classroom. I was always sent out. I was always carrying on and stuff. But I didn't realise what was wrong with me at that point. And I know a lot of people nowadays actually use a cliche, "I've got ADHD," but they don't actually really know what it is and the struggles you have with it. You can be very demotivated at times, and then you can boom, get bursts of energy, and that's my problem. Where I've had to find that way where I can utilize that to the best of my ability, but sometimes it can be very hard. And what I want to do is obviously with the way I struggled when I was younger, I know a lot of other kids are like that as well. I want to get the kids to have an output of that energy rather than sitting in the house playing Xbox and maybe getting up with their pals and causing havoc and not having anything to do. Because let's be honest, this country's a shambles. Football pitches are locked up everywhere. I can't go and get a game of football, and it's a disgrace. The pitch that I used to play on is all locked up now, so the kids can't do what I used to do when I was younger. They're all locked up. They can't do it. There's always no ball signs on pitches or grass pitches. Not get the weather. You need artificial pitches to play football in this country. So what I wanted to do, and I thought about this for a long while, was I wanted to make a difference to kids and give the kids of this generation what I wanted when I was younger. And I always remember in school, we used to sit, me and my pal, and we'd sit and pretend we were ultras, just full of energy as young kids, full of energy. And we'd sit and bang the drums, use the tables, a drum and that, just be young kids. And from that, we used to want to, we'd be like, "Oh, what?" We would say to our friends, "You want to go and support the local team and that? You want to come do this?" And everybody would go, "No, that's embarrassing. No, that's piping. Nah, I've not done that." And they would just always rather go to Brayhead and go for a shop. Do you know what I mean? Kick about with the girls. Whereas now, what I've tried to do is get the young kids going, just cause havoc and use that energy for a positive manner. The
Yeah.
local clubs need you. Go and cause havoc in a good way. Get a drum, get a loudspeaker, do the tifos and get the banners and do a march and memories for life. You'll be making me up, pals. And do you know what? See if they light a bit of pyro. Let them light a bit of pyro. I mean, all these old duffers, and I'm not going to speak too much, but there's too many old duffers in the game that are too controversial about that. Listen, how many people do you know that have been injured off a pyro in the last year? And how many times have you seen pyro getting used? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really interesting. It's an interesting argument, isn't it? Because, you know, football now, I was saying this to somebody the other day, the way people and supporters are looking at the game now has changed a lot. I mean, I'm in my 30s and you're much younger than me. You know, you're seeing a different side of the game to what I saw in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s. And I think the game has shifted quite a lot now. And I think, you know, there's different ways of exploring and getting involved in the game now. Social media has become a big thing, and there's so much stuff going on. And you know what? I think, you know, I think it's quite engaging at times. As long as it's done in a safe way, as long as it's done in a way that is gonna, you know, get people, as you say, you know, having memories and moments that will last with them forever. That's all that really we can ask for, really, isn't it?
100%. I think, listen, there needs to be laws, needs to be things put in place, but I don't think pyro going anywhere, and I don't want it to go anywhere because what a difference it makes. I think what they need to do is they need to sit down the way they do it in Sweden, the way they do it in Denmark, etc. They need to sit down with the fans, coerce with the fans rather than putting banning orders. Look at Linfield, that's embarrassing what they've done with the Blue Unity. It really is embarrassing. And I'm just going to say it because, listen, all the Blue Unity have done is tried to create an atmosphere. I know there's obviously been songs, songbooks, whatever. What's songbooks? It's words. It's no actions. They're not out there doing violence and battering people and putting poles over people's heads, singing a couple of songs and lighting a couple of pyro, not causing any harm. Do you know? But listen, the ones at the top, they've got nothing better to do, so they're banning them. And you've seen the difference with the Blue Unity at the weekend, didn't you? I mean, that first half. Even the second half, where most of their group weren't even there. It was dead. Football without the fans is nothing, and I'm always going to push this, whether it's the young kids or whether it's the ultras groups and stuff. Just go and support a team, cause havoc, get your energy out there, and you'll enjoy it. You'll love it.
When you go to games like Derry last week or the cup final, do you have in your own mind an idea, a strategy as to how you're going to do it? Or is it just, right, we're going to be there at the day. This, we're going to do it just off the cuff. We're going to interview some people and let's just see where it takes us. How are you planning your sort of videos? Are you planning ahead, or is it just, well, whatever content you get on the day, this is how it's going to come out?
You always need to plan ahead. You always need to have a rough idea of what you're going to be getting into, because before I used to go into stuff and then you can kind of get caught out. So if you've kind of guidelines where you're going to go along. So say for example, try to think, Sligo Rovers Saturday night. I knew that that was a community owned club, and I knew it was a club that was very well thought of. I knew it was. I was getting into the Rovers Derby, which is Sligo Rovers v Shamrock Rovers. It's been a bit of a rivalry for a while, so you kind of need to know that stuff, because when you're getting in, you can't just be asking any questions. You need to know your stuff, and
Absolutely.
let's be honest, that's probably why my channel's done so well, because of my knowledge in Scottish football. Because if you don't know your stuff, you're going to get caught out very easily with the amount of people that are watching your videos. If you don't know your stuff, yeah. It's game over for you. So you do need to do your research and stuff. You do need to have an idea. However, football, Grant, what happens in football?
Anything can happen.
What is the saying that everybody says? Anything can happen in football. And what happens every time I go to a game? Anything, everything. You cannot predict football.
No.
And that is the beauty of the game, and that is why I love it, and that is why it makes it so unique. Because I can be going to games and think, this is going to be fucking shite, man. Next thing you know, 93rd minute, ball into the box, boom, limbs, scenes, you've got your video all sorted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's in the video, it's just, it's the rawness. You'll notice from my video, I don't go in and I say, I want this exactly like this. And because every single time you do a video, it's always going to go different to the way you planned. However,
Absolutely.
obviously, you have their guidelines and you want it along a certain way. You can never predict what's going to happen from an interview to something on the park to something off the park to the weather. Do you know, every single thing can change a game like that, and it or change an atmosphere. Or do you know, it's just the glory of football, and it's why we love it so much, and it's why it makes my videos so raw and enjoyable, to be fair.
And I think the rawness of your videos makes it your USP, which I think is really good. I mean, we both have spoken about
Makes it
Sam
more what,
Norton,
sorry?
more enjoyable and more exciting to watch. I think it makes it's your USP, it's your unique selling point. And I mean, we both follow Sam North's content, and Sam's looks very professional, very, very good, I have to say, what he does. And I watched both yours and his videos from the cup final, and I thought they were both absolutely tremendous. But there's something about yours that I think just captures the imagination of the fans, and none more so than Patrick Hoobin's overhead kick in the game against Watford. You got the perfect, perfect angle on that goal. That's a great goal.
Mate, honestly, like, I don't know what it was. I just had it on camera, but the stabilization, everything, that is one of the best videos I've ever taken. In fact, it was behind the goal. If you've not seen it, go and watch it, man. Behind the goal, and then the fact that it ran off, see the celebration, see the way it flows. See, if you watch it, it feels like you're watching a movie, do you not think?
Yeah,
See the way, like,
that's exactly what I thought as well. It's
see
quite
the way, like,
incredible.
he's running across the screen, but
Yeah.
my stabilization's going. It was like I never had my phone in action mode, but it felt like it was in action mode. Oh my God, it was. And then the way, did you see the way he jumped into the fans, and
Yes.
that young fan jumped off and jumped onto him on the park? It was just that. It was like this a scene from a movie, wasn't
Yeah.
it? Like,
I mean, the reason I
oh.
say that, the reason I'm picturing that goal is because I was sitting, or standing, sorry, perpendicular to the goal at the other side of the pitch to you. And when I was seeing the goal, it looked like the goalkeeper made a mistake. And I was given maybe Hoban a disservice on the goal because it looked like it hit the inside of the post and gone in. Then I watched the League of Ireland highlights when I came home the next night, and I thought, well, that's actually a better goal than I gave it credit for. But having watched your angle of it's probably the best angle to get of it. And I think that's the thing I always take away from goals like that. You can see goals and appreciate goals in different ways, but unless you're right behind the action, or you're very close to something like that, or you're, you know, within the sort of vicinity of that, you know, it just takes your perception to a different level, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely, man. It's like, oh, see football. You can just never predict what's going to happen. And just things like that. That's what we love, isn't it? Just split second things like that happen. And next thing your head goes, you just go, what? And you just see the pure emotion that comes out of me, the fans, the players. That's what we love, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show was to talk about fan engagement and the experience of following football across the world, really. I mean, you and I both follow a lot of Scottish football. And what have you seen from your comparisons with the Scottish game and your experiences of your time in Ireland, both at the weekend and in the past? What things have you noticed that have made it very engaging, and what things do you feel? I mean, I think you mentioned this already about some activities off the pitch as well as on it that you think could maybe make the fan engagement even better than it is.
So, are we talking Republic of Ireland?
Just
Yeah.
generally speaking.
As I spoke about, I think Northern Ireland's a lot behind everywhere else, but David's come in, he's done an excellent job, and I mean, an excellent job. What Northern Irish football was is basically it was just left in the dump. So I felt Northern Irish football, and I'm sorry to say it, but I would feel Northern Irish football's maybe like, not the quality, obviously, but just the way it was run was very. Probably about the same level as the Lowland League in Scotland. Just the way it was run, it wasn't run very well. However, NIFL have changed things up. They've got a brand new plan
Totally
in
agree.
place. They've put money. You seen the workbook that they brought out? I think it was 2 years ago, last year or 2 years ago, and they've put their time and heart and soul into it. And in the space of a year, what a difference it's made. They're putting stuff out on social media as soon as possible, goals and stuff, and it's grown. The league has grown slowly but surely. Social media is huge. You see my TikToks, and you see obviously YouTube and Twitter and stuff like that. It's vital for a league to grow. The Republic of Ireland, the FAI are doing it as well. They're doing it very well. And the crowds at Republic of Ireland games, stadiums are selling out now. Have you been to a Derry game before that game?
That was my first Derry experience, and I
Right.
have to say, I thought it was absolutely magnificent. You know, especially even the standing session, it was absolutely freezing. Do not get me wrong, but it was great to just be there. And I actually got in chatting to a lot of the Derry fans and just chatting to them a little bit about the experiences of the game and that, because I think that's just what makes being a fan is just learning new experiences and meeting new people. I just think it's an absolutely magnificent opportunity, and I could waste it when I was there.
Oh, Derry people are very forward. I'll give you that. But see the thing is with the game. Did you notice that? See when you went into the stadium and stuff, the way that you were looked after and the way that the people want you there and they care about you.
Yeah, I saw that.
The hospitality is different because Irish football, they're welcoming. You see, when I got a
Very
game.
welcoming, very
Three,
welcoming.
they're welcoming, and they've realised that the promotion of the game is only going to do them good. I think Northern Irish football is starting to realise that now. That's why they're inviting the likes of myself and stuff. The fans, the passion of the fans over in Ireland, I think Republic of Ireland fans are the most passionate out of everywhere, the UK and Ireland. I think Republic of Ireland fans, just Irish fans in general, are nuts. Just how passionate they are. You've seen it in all my videos. They're just the next level. Scottish football is obviously mad, but in a different way.
It is.
Like Ireland, they live and breathe the football. Scotland over here, they live and breathe it, but yet again to a different way. It's just you need to sit there and go to an Irish game to experience it, to understand
And I
it.
think from my side, you know, one of the games that absolutely perfectly illustrates your point was the Big Two Derby I was at in December with Glentoran and Linfield. You know, I was sitting in the Glens fans and in amongst them. And the atmosphere that night, they were beating Linfield 4-0 at home on a Friday night on the 1st of December. You know, I have never heard a place like that as loud as that, just being in there. And I actually didn't say a word for about 5 minutes because I just wanted to just take it and drink it all in, because I'm not a fan of any of those clubs. But just to hear the atmosphere in the Glentoran end was just unbelievable. Now, this is a Glentoran team. I've had a very troublesome season. They've
I love
just
the fact
sacked
that you've just managed to get two Easter eggs in there for commentary, sorry.
a.
You need to drink it all in and you put unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. It was.
Love that. Easter eggs. Unbelievable.
And I loved your Gary Neville
Kick
comment
it
the
all
other day.
in.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it was absolutely magnificent, you know, to just witness and experience that, because as a fan, you know, especially a neutral fan, because there's a lot of fans that obviously want their club to win. Of course they do. There's lots of fans that, you know, want to actually come to games to explore different cultures. And I think from my side, you know, I just want to see just what it's like, because it would be totally different to a German football match or a match in Serie A. You know, I just think it's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it was a bad night for the Linfield fans, of course, because they've just seen their team lose 4-0 against their bitter rivals. But they got the revenge on Boxing Day, so I'm sure they were more than happy to get their own back on that one.
No, definitely. It's a game I need to get to very soon. I was actually supposed to go to that game,
Yeah.
and then for different reasons. But yeah, it's definitely a game that needs to be ticked off the list. The Bell Classico.
Yeah, the Bell Classico, absolutely. So when you're doing your interviews with or your videos and things like that, have you met any famous faces and people that have made it into your videos, you know, players, managers, etc.? Or do you just focus on, you know, families and kids and that, and try to get them involved in the game? Because, you know, there's different ways to sell the game, isn't it?
No, I've got quite a lot of football players that I've met at the grounds. Obviously, they're under contract and stuff and needs to go through media officers and stuff for them to be interviewed. So I'm not really going to shove a camera in their face. I'm not
No,
one of the people,
but
but
you did meet the boy Zhao from Portadown, didn't you? Which I
Brandon
thought was
Diao,
very good. I enjoyed seeing
yeah, I'm
that
good
one.
friends with Brand. Good friends with Brandon. He's a hero, and I've followed him actually for a long while. I met him the first time at Morton v Smith. Morton v St Mirren, he was on trial. Unfortunately, he didn't. He kept a clean sheet against St Mirren, and Morton beat St Mirren in that game, but unfortunately, he didn't get his contract. Finally, he got his contract at Portadown, and I had to go over to see him. That was one of the reasons I came over, was to see him. quite a lot of players I will see at games will speak to me and stuff and just say they watch my videos and stuff. I had James McFadden on the vlog last year as well. I've had Emma Dodge, Rob McLean, people like that. Do you know what? Chris Boyd was on my vlog.
Good honest guys that you've mentioned there.
In the Masters, do you know? It's people have a respect for other people in the industry, and I think when they realise the work ethic and time it goes into it and stuff, they because people what I want to say is people look at YouTube and think, oh, he's just a YouTuber. People don't realise you're a planner, you're a script writer, you're an editor, you're a interviewer, you're a cameraman, you're a producer. Do you know, like all of these jobs you're doing yourself, you're a thumbnail editor, what's it called? Like doing art and stuff, so and then you're doing titles and stuff as well. So many things go into it to make you the perfect, but just to make one video, such a long time goes into it. And I think people in the industry realize that. That's why everybody's a lot more humble towards each other. Like, for instance, you look down in England. A lot of people down in England, they don't really like each other. YouTubers and stuff, you see all the bickering online and stuff. I'm not into that. And I've spoke to Sam about that. And me and Sam have both agreed that it's good that if we work together with each other,
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Sam's a great guy, he's always got a smile on his face. And it's I don't really like being negative, to be honest with you. I've got no problems with people always. The reason I'm saying this is people always come up to me and say, oh, you're better than Foot Adventures, or Foot Adventures' videos are a bit better than yours, but blah, blah, blah. And I'll go, that's fair enough, that's your opinion. Or they'll go, oh, who do you think's better, your Foot Adventures? And I'll be going, listen, Sam's got a very different style to mine. Both of us try our best to improve the Scottish game. We're obviously doing our best to give you as content that you are looking for. Sam's got a very different style to mine, so you can't really
Completely.
compare. And
Absolutely agree.
I would, like, me and Sam have worked with each other numerous times, and he's such a lovely guy. I got on with him great. So I don't know why I would want to spoil that just to have a bit of negativity. Listen,
Absolutely agree.
see if me and Sam fell out, we could get good clicks. You know what I mean? But listen, is it really worth it? Nah.
No, absolutely not.
We're
And
here for money. We're
the
here for
names you mentioned there were very, very big names. You know, people like Emma Dodds, who've done so much stuff in TNT Sports and highlighting the Scottish game. You mentioned Rob McLean there, who's one of my heroes following Scottish football. And, you know, Faddy obviously has had a decorated career. And, you know, just meeting these guys, and as you mentioned, them giving you the appreciation of what you're doing in the game. And what I thought was really good, what you just said there about you're a thumbnailer, you're doing your own scripts, you're pulling your stuff together. I guess from my side as a podcaster, it's very similar, except I'm not doing the audio. I'm just doing the audio side of things and the editing. I'm not doing the sort of video content that you guys are doing. So I'm in awe of what you guys are doing. And I think the work that you guys are doing is absolutely tremendous. And it's all about selling the game and all about giving people a different experience to say, actually, maybe we want to go and follow this league or follow this team and see what they're all about. Because I think it just adds something different, doesn't it?
definitely, there's so many hidden gems in football, and it's our job to discover them and find them and give you the best content possible. And sometimes they do work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the people love them, sometimes they don't. And that's the beauty of YouTube, shall we say. It's honestly a roller coaster. Like, some days I can be sitting in my bed not wanting to leave my bed, and some days I'll be wanting to go and do three videos in the one day. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's, and that all comes back to life. And I think a massive message I want to put across here is, listen, life's not easy. A lot of us struggle. I've struggled really badly at times. I know other people have as well. In the industry I've spoke to, and it's not even in the industry. Personally, in life, life is a roller coaster. You can be the worst possible time, not want to leave your bed, not want to speak to anybody. But the massive message I just want to get across is just push through it. Literally, push through it, and there's always better things coming from the other side. It's a mad world we live in. You can think that, literally, I've been sitting here at times, I was done with my YouTube, didn't want to do it, and I just my numbers weren't doing good. I wasn't really enjoying it. I wasn't really putting my all into it, and then I was done with it, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, a couple of days later, you're back to falling in love with it again, just after a simple video. And it's mad. Mate, I think I can see the Northern Lights out my window. What the? This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Life. It's just a mad life we live in. Anything can happen at any time. Football, anything. And it's all just about pursuing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it's
Yeah,
just
no,
life is
absolutely.
just push through it, push through the boundaries. Life's
What
a.
you're saying there, I have had similar feelings and emotions as well with shows I've recorded with big names, with shows that I've recorded with not so big names. And you know, it's you get some good ones, you don't get some good ones. You may have an off day as the presenter, maybe not asking the right questions, maybe asking too technical questions, maybe it's gone too long, or they have said, "Oh, I need to go," and you need to try and condense things in a short space of time. So it could be good and it could be bad. And as you say, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. And you know, I think there's some really good things. You're in awe of this lights, aren't you? I can see that.
Fuck, man. I don't even know if I can show you at my window. I don't know if you can see it or not.
I see a lot of green, I think. Oh yeah, just see it over the horizon there.
Can you
Wow,
see it?
that's pretty spectacular. Yeah,
Is it
that is
not?
very nice. It's a pity that people who are listening to this can't actually see this on the podcast,
No.
but there we go.
Yeah. I have never seen that before, and I can see it out my window.
I'm gonna keep this in because I think it'll be a good crack to listen back to. I've got
Wow.
to ask you, Blair, because you obviously you do a lot of work with your video content, but you're also a massive fan of the good old Jags, Partick Thistle, which is one of
The
my
Harry Rags, the Mental Fags, the Half Tram Bags.
which was a club that I have a massive soft spot for because I grew up in the 90s with one of those Textile World shirts back in the day, and
Oh, love them.
great, great club. What made you want to follow the Jags?
My granda. My
And
granda's a Maryhill man, so my granda took me to a game in Division 7. He took me up that hill, held my hand, took me up that hill, bought me a program, and next thing you know, I was demented.
yeah.
Aye. Unfortunately, and ever since then, I've been crying watching football.
They're a very interesting club, aren't they? Because they've had their good times being in the top flight, but they're having their frustrating times at the moment, aren't they, in the championship? And
Oh, mate, frustrating's one way of putting it after that playoff final last season.
I bet you that was tough against County.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. The worst day of my life, to be fair. The fact that I don't have a log at it as well. I've deleted it. I
Oh,
couldn't
God.
edit. Couldn't edit that.
I was gonna actually ask you about
Nah,
that because I remember you doing that.
nah.
You were going to be
Nobody's
doing
ever
something of
seen
that.
that. That's gone. Gone.
And it's gone from
Oh.
it's like as an Aberdeen fan, my moment when Tom Rogic scores that winner against Celtic in 2017. Never want to see that game ever again on YouTube or anything
Yeah.
like that.
Swap. I'll watch the playoff final and you can watch that.
You know. Send it across to me after the show. No doubt about that. We should definitely do that. What about favourite players at Partick? Because obviously Chris Doolan's now the manager, and you know
Yeah,
you said to me when you were there, a bit of a legend.
I tweeted something today and it was a video for was it 20 just the season we get promoted and we had Lyle Taylor playing for us on loan. He's become went on to become one of the world's most famous penalty takers playing for Nottingham Forest. Stephen O'Donnell, right back. Aaron Taylor Sinclair, left back. You had Callum Higginbotham. Callum Higginbotham, technically, is probably the best player I've ever seen play at Firhill. Oh, wow. What a player. Doolan, up front. You had Chris Erskine. You had Stevie Lawless. Oh, unbelievable.
Would Bannigan have been playing back then?
Yeah. He's played the whole. No, he was injured. He was on and off at that time. What a team we had at that time in the Premiership, and what a time to be alive. I followed Thistle for 5 years till we get promoted. Five, six years till we get promotion, and what a time it was to be alive. 5 years in the Premiership, and then aye, back to normal. Two relegations in a row.
But at least you're still smiling about it, and at least there's some good and some bad moments, I suppose. And as an Aberdeen fan, I can sympathise because we're not having a very good season.
Oh, mate, it's madness what's happening to me, isn't it? What do you think
Oh.
about that? That was a mad one, wasn't
Oh, just someone else, isn't it? I mean, it was like someone you would see on Football Manager, and then
it?
8 days later, he's gone.
I think he just came for a caravan trip to get his wages paid, and then he was off on it. See all the comments he was coming at me and everything as well. He just tell he wasn't taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's someone else, and hopefully as a club will improve, and maybe the fan experience at Aberdeen will be better in the future. Who knows? But we'll just have to wait and
I
see.
hope. I hope. Do you know what? I think everything depends on that stadium. I
Yeah.
think if Aberdeen can get that stadium before Dundee, which I don't know if it's going to happen because Dundee are flying ahead with their application,
Yeah.
it can make a difference to the whole city. Because Dundee get that stadium, it's not going to just be a stadium, it's going to be for the city. So I think personally that'll put Dundee level with Aberdeen because Aberdeen's running on its arse. Well, the clothes and the fashion and stuff, obviously it's got the oil, but there's no money in the town anymore.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's sad times what's happening in the Northeast, and I'm sure some of my Aberdeen fans who are listening to the show will definitely sympathise and maybe feel frustrated about what's going on there. But Blair, it's been great to have you on the show, and I just want to wrap things up because we're coming very close to the end. I've got to ask you, what's the future with the work that you're doing? Because you're obviously very much still in the embryonic stages of this, and it's definitely gaining ahead of steam quite quickly. And there's obviously, we've talked about some tough times, some good times with it as well. But you've got a lot of great projects, I'm sure, coming up, which I think you have. I certainly engage from you that could be very, very exciting.
Yep, keep an eye on the channel. You're going to have plenty of drama, plenty of fun, plenty of madness, and all the stuff that you love that we cannot predict in football. Well, we say we cannot predict. I think I'm going to predict a few things in the next couple of videos anyway. We've got another trip to Ireland at the end of this month for the biggest video yet.
Excellent. I look forward to that. And I'm sure many listeners will
Keep
want to
an eye
look
for
forward
us,
to that
and
as
that'll be
well.
that.
Excellent. So keep an eye out for Blair McNally's channel on YouTube. I'm just going to see where you can find it. You can just find it at Blair
Just type in Blair
McNally
McNally on
on
YouTube
McNally.
or Google and it'll come
Yeah.
up.
Yeah. Have a, as they say in Glasgow, have a wee swatch and
Have a
look at that.
swatch.
Yeah, absolutely. 23,400 subscribers, bringing the atmosphere to you. It says the traveling tours, beer, food, or football. This is the place to be. Strap in as I travel across the world to show you footage from the stands like you've never seen it before. And so there is hopefully me selling it to you in a good way and to others tuning into the show. Blair, thanks very much for coming on to share your experiences of Northern Ireland and the fan experience as a whole. And thanks for coming on Campbell's Footballs. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, mate.
Grant, you're a legend. Thank you very much, and go and follow this man if you've not already. What a dangerous night!